somewhat quickly, I would like us to look at God's Word this morning.
Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Look at the world, our country, decisions being made by leaders all over this globe. Those that hit us a little closer, judgments made by people in this country, who will answer. Every tongue will confess one day, and every knee will bow to Jesus Christ and confess Him as Lord. A realization will come. For some, it may not be until eternity. But understanding will come. And instead of throwing stones at their decisions and judgments that affect our world and where we live, I need to first look at judgments and decisions I make in my own life. And so do you. And not at my life, but yours. It's easy to quickly look and say, this country is headed to Hades in a handbasket. See how politely I said that? By the decisions they make, by the things that we have embraced or as a country that are counterfeit. And yet, on a personal level, have we done the same thing over different issues in our life? I mean, you know, we call ourselves the church. And so we do spiritual expressions and spiritual exercise and spiritual things that we find in the Scripture. And yet, do we somehow ignore the other things and feel like, well, I've done this much, or I've done these things, so I should feel pretty good because, you know, I'm doing better than maybe the average, or I'm doing better than, you know, look at this world, look at our country. I mean, I should feel pretty good about what I have done in response to this revelation of Jesus Christ that has come into my life. And we look at our spiritual exercise and expressions and our works and maybe how long we pray and how much we fast or these different things that we gauge our life by. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 58, please. You may feel an additional call to prayer. You may feel an additional call to fasting. You may feel an additional call from wherever you have been spiritually to drawn to His Word and in light of what circumstances and situations that are going on in our world around us at a international level, a national level, regional, you know, all the way down to our little place where we live here and maybe in Monroe, La Crosse County or, you know, Vernon County or Jackson County, wherever you live. And you might feel an extra awareness to do some spiritual expressions, but I want us to take a look at Isaiah 58 today. God is speaking to Isaiah, one of the, well, we call him the Messianic prophet. His prophecy was a lot to do about the coming of Jesus Christ and the Savior. And here he's quoting what the Lord is saying to him in verse 1. It says, "Shout it aloud, do not hold back, Isaiah. Raise your voice like a trumpet, Isaiah. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins." Isaiah, do this. Don't shrink back. Proclaim it. Shout it. Sound it like a trumpet, a warning trumpet. In other words, let's say in our where we live and how we alarm our communities, do you ever hear the siren go off? You ever hear it? Yeah. Tornado or weather or something like that. Or we have sirens on our, you know, police cars and the emergency vehicles of all different departments. There's this alarm that goes out. It says, "Hey, we're here. Get you know, something's going on. Get your attention or pull over or get to your basement," or whatever the scenario is. This is the equivalent. The sounding of the trumpet, it gets everybody's attention. Something's going on. It's calling us to war. It's calling us to a fast. It's calling us to something. It's the, you know, calling us to, you know, the full moon has started. And so now we go through our Jewish month and all of those things that meant to them. And we have these alarms in our own settings. He says, "I want you to declare it like this, like an alarm." This is what the Lord says. "For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a people or a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God." So far it sounds pretty good. I mean, because that's kind of how we sometimes judge ourselves. Hey, I've been going to church. I've been reading the Word. I've been praying. I've been, you know, I've been changing. I'm not who I was. You know, I'm doing better. I mean, my kids seem to be okay, and you know, marriage is in the realm of, you know, acceptable, and you know, I'm living pretty holy. I didn't laugh at the dirty joke at the office the other day, and you know, whatever it is, or you know, I didn't jump in on Facebook and give my opinion about meaningless chatter, and you know, not that all those things are meaningless chatter. Please don't, you know. I'm just giving scenarios here. Wherever the shoe fits for you, wear it. If I don't mention it, don't think you're off the hook. You know, we're doing pretty good. All seems like these little signs and signals that they're doing okay, that we're doing okay. God says, "They ask me for just decisions and seem eager to come near to these decisions." Then the Lord says, "Why have you done these things?" Basically, to them, it's, "Why have you fasted?" They say, "And you have not seen it." In other words, the people are doing these spiritual things, and they don't seem like they're getting answers from God that they desire or want. And yet they have given signals that they're really seeking the Lord. They're really trying. They do some fasting. And then they say, "You know, we've humbled ourselves." And it's like you haven't noticed, God. And the Lord responds to this. He says, seemingly, and by you judging yourself and, you know, assessing yourself, like you've been doing pretty good, and it seems like you are different than other people, and you're doing some spiritual things, and you're reading your, well, you know, put this all in context, that you're reading His Word, and praying, and going to church, and changing a little bit, and trying to, all these things. And then we say, "Well, but God, you know, where's the breakthrough? Where's the answer? How come my prayers aren't answered, like kind of like how I've been praying? You know, where, you know, come on, I've been doing this stuff. Doing the noticeable things." And then God answers. He says, "Yet, on the day of your fasting," or on the day of your spiritual expression, whatever it has been, This isn't just about fasting. You do as you please. You mistreat people. You exploit your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife. Here you are doing spiritual expressions and you have relationships that aren't working because of things that are going on in your own heart and mind, your conduct. He says your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. And, well, maybe you're not physically punching people, but you might be taking shots at them, whether they are there or not, of how you talk about them to other people. He says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. In other words, you can go through all these spiritual expressions, but if your relationships with people are wrong, inappropriate, you hold something in your heart against people, don't expect that to be overlooked and your voice to be heard in heaven. Think about this for a moment. You go through spiritual expressions. You don't work, I don't work through attitudes in my heart with the help of the Lord towards other people or an individual or whatever it is that He looks upon and says, this does not match who I have called you to be. And this is not the in-depth work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You've got all this spiritual expression and these other things going on in your life that seemingly says, I'm seeking the Lord. And yet underneath all of that, there are some very offensive things to the Lord. And yet you are expecting me to hear your voice and act on your behalf? Hear your requests and honor them? When these other things are going on underneath and behind at another level of beyond what people can see, you want me to hear your voice and your cry for your nation? And you think going without food for a day is going to fix it? Going without food for a day and doing a little extra prayer and ignoring the things that are not right in your personal life, and you expect me to hear your voice and heal your nation? Or expect me to hear your voice and heal you? Expect me to hear your voice and heal your family? Or expect me to hear your voice and do whatever it is you're asking for, whatever blessing you're trying to seek? God is telling Isaiah, listen, tell the people this and sound the alarm. I mean, think about, what if you came, just in this morning alone, what if you and I were to discover that God did not receive or hear any of our vocal praise or physical expressions of praise this morning? That He heard no prayer. It didn't reach Him. He didn't acknowledge it. Because the outward things, these expressions, seemingly are to seek Him, and yet underneath it all, in our life, there are things that are very offensive and out of order and contradictory to the life that we are portraying. I would walk out of here and feel like I just wasted my time. I wasted time. I wasted other people's time. You mean I came here and offered all of this to the Lord and He never heard me? I mean, how would you feel about that? That you came to church and did these things and you found out after, by the way, God, I did not hear you. Not because I'm deaf or an inability. It's that behind these spiritual expressions, the things that matter, not that these expressions don't, But what brings life and meaning to these expressions is how we live behind the scene. He says, I see that you're looking like you're seeking me, and I know that you're fasting, and yet you're wanting me to answer, but I cannot answer because you exploit workers. You quarrel and strife and are mean to each other and speak out against another. You cannot fast or do these things like you've been doing and expect your voice to be heard by God on high. He says, is this the kind of fast? Is this the kind of spiritual life that I have chosen? Only a day? Only a moment? Only at church? For a person to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? In other words, he's going through, hey, listen, you've been doing, you know, one of the very key things in spiritual life and in seeking the Lord, even fasting. But I'm not acknowledging it because behind all this, there's other things that are going on that, I guess, sabotage your spiritual expression and seeking. Is that what you call, listen to what the Lord asks them, he asks them a question. He says, is that what you call a fast? A day that's acceptable to the Lord? When you leave this place this morning, when we walk out and say, well, this is what we call church, and this must be acceptable to the Lord. It's not what just happens and what we do in this place. It's what you did last night in the privacy of your life. It's what you did yesterday morning. It's the relationship you had with a coworker before you got to your long weekend. It's these things. He's not belittling the spiritual expressions. He's not belittling fasting because it all has purpose. But what he is saying is, these things where you gauge that you are seeking the Lord and doing these things, it's like they have no impact except maybe in our minds thinking we've done some good things. But we're not resolving and addressing the real issues that go on in our life and behind the scenes that the Lord sees and says, these matter. It matters to Him. It's the things that He died for. You have value and purchase. Listen, this is not in the sense of condemnation. God is speaking this to His prophet through Isaiah and saying, listen, this is important. You have some grievance against me, but let me tell you, you've got it backwards. You think because you do this or go without some food, you know, it's interesting. It's almost like the comparison that God is saying, listen, you think going without food is so tough, and then after you fast for a day or you fast one lunch, and we act like, you know, oh my goodness, I'm just so worn out and depleted. And oh, I fasted. Oh. That is easier than changing a bad habit. A bad habit of mistreating people. A pattern of life of neglecting people. The pattern of not loving people and treating them with respect and dignity that they don't maybe deserve. It's easier to go without food. And we go without food, it's like, I know I'm supposed to keep this private, but oh, I got such a headache. I skipped breakfast. Oh, I skipped lunch. My stomach is hurting and growling. Oh, I feel like, oh, I just feel so sick. I should probably just lay down. Now I know how my wife and daughters feel every month. Let me tell you something. We still have no idea. We act like it's some huge deal. Fasting. Well, I'll pray. But I can't skip food. Listen, they're skipping food. They're doing what you and I might find hard to do. And yet the Lord says, you're expecting me to hear you just because you're doing this spiritual thing of fasting? Fast all you want, because right now it's not counting for anything. That's what he's saying. It's not counting. You expect me to act and answer your prayers and give you the blessing that you seek and have breakthrough and, you know, revival or whatever it is that we're looking for? So is this the kind of fast I called you to? Do these spiritual things and behind the scene you got all this rot going on and you're dismissing it like it doesn't matter? I've done these spiritual things, so I must be doing pretty good. Is that what you and I call spiritual worship? A day that's acceptable to the Lord? And the Lord says, isn't this the kind of fast that I've called you to? And he begins to give examples. It is not limited to this list, but he begins to give them examples to make the point. Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen? But for you to loosen the chains of injustice and to untie the cords of the yoke. In other words, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with those who are hungry? And to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see those in need of clothing or those who are naked, clothe them. And not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. He gives these examples about caring for people. It wasn't based upon whether these people were worthy of it. It's just that they were in need. They were in need. How does it look when you fasted, you went to church, you sang the song, shed a tear, professed Christ, took communion, maybe served and did something around here, volunteered, and then when that moment and those times are over, you ignore the people you and I go by every week who have a need. And we say things like, well, this is my money. This is my time. Well, they got themselves into that predicament. As if we are not in the same predicament, therefore you and I think we're more righteous, more deserving. You may have expressed some discipline and some conscientious efforts in your life that you think got you to the place and the income or the job or status or wherever you're at in life. I want to remind you, God provided you that. God provided it for you. He says, if you will do these things, in other words, the things that he notices behind the scene, this setting people free and helping them. He says, then this, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Wait, I'll tell you the word that stands out to me. Quickly. You and I are like, oh, it takes so long. I've been praying so many years. I've been doing this so many years. Oh, I've been, oh. Seemingly like we're seeking him, and yet we don't address things that are the real issues deep down in our life. And if they would be addressed, and it would show up in transformation, he's saying that your voice will be heard, and it will quickly be answered. Come on, let's face it. You and I like quick. We'd like it yesterday. Right? Yeah, we'd like it yesterday. Quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. Actually, it says, here am I, but I'll go with here I am. Right? When you call for help, you'd like it to show up now. As you are speaking. You call, Lord will answer. Here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, stop oppressing people. They hurt me. There's been an injustice. They conducted themselves wrongly. Therefore, I will oppress them. Where is that found in the life of the disciple? I've got the right to after what they... What? You and I are supposed to be slaves to God. The master has the rights, not you and I. So let him carry out what he's supposed to carry out. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with pointing the finger, do this. Go ahead. Do this. Point at me. Go ahead, everybody. Just pointing the finger. Do you know that pointing the finger is not always done with a physical thing? Your words. You know, we use terms like this. Well, I don't want to throw them under the bus, but I really do. That's what it says. And I'm pointing the finger. He says, if you stop pointing the finger, and if you stop oppression, and you stop malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of those who are oppressed in different ways, however they're oppressed, are they oppressed with loneliness? Yeah, but look at the way they act. No wonder they're lonely. I mean, you and I may have that insight, but that does not excuse us from taking time to set them free and let them know that even though they're ugly and aggressive and ugly, I mean, in their portrayal, not physically, in their portrayal as a person, and yet you show kindness and take time and love them, and then afterwards, there was like no change in them, potentially. Let's say there was no change. It is not wasted time. You offered it unto the Lord. You did what's right in the eyes of the Lord. This is the life and the fast he has called us to. Not that we don't have to go without food, by the way. This is not one or the other. This is the whole package. Spending yourself, satisfying the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. In other words, the blessing that you have been seeking will actually be given unto you because you not just paid attention to the outward signs of what would look like someone seeking God. You paid attention to what is going on behind the scenes in your life, in your heart, in your mind that God sees. And because you took care of those things and made them priority and offered it as your spiritual worship and didn't sing your own praise of what you're doing and how you're offering yourself to the Lord, then whatever darkness you're trying to get out of will become like the noonday. If you and I just think are coming in here and raising our hands and crying a little and feeling a little warmth of the nearness of God, and we sat through long sermons of guest speakers and our pastor. I tithe. I gave a little extra to missions. I read your word every day. I did this. I did that. Pay attention to the little things that are going on in here and in here. Those are the things, coupled with all the things that we've already been doing. Because then your answer will come quickly. We want to humble ourselves and fast and pray and give up some time, and all of that is really good. But if we're oppressing people and mistreating people and neglecting people and not embracing our call and our role in life and who He's made us to be and where He has placed us, we think we have some excuses, or our past is license to live like we are and God understands. No, He's not. You want your nation to change? Ask God all you want, but pay attention to your personal life. Then you'll hear your prayer. You want God to answer your prayer for revival and spiritual awakening in the church and outside of the church? Well, pay attention to how you treat people in your life. Yeah. I like what Peter writes. He says, you want your prayers answered? And I'm paraphrasing, because this way we'll get it real clear. You want your prayers answered? Be good to your wife. What? Where's the connection? Wife? Want your husband to come to the Lord and grow in the Lord and not be hindered in his spiritual walk? Then treat him really good. What? See? We think just our prayers are the moments that we're communicating to God or reaching God. How we live and how we assess and examine our mind and our heart and conduct our relationships is reaching heaven. It's like we think just our words and our raised hands reach God's attention. The other things in our life are getting His attention all the time. That's what He's telling them. You can fast, but your quarrel and strife, just cancel all that out. And it's not limited to quarrel and strife. It's the other things in our life. Cancel it out. It's not just what we verbally say or sing to him. That would be like, what communicates loudest to your spouse? You think your words do? Maybe at the beginning stages of when you were dating. You're so beautiful. Oh, you're so handsome. And Yeah, try, 3 years into marriage. If I just tell her she's pretty and beautiful, but that's supposed to cover and satisfy how I ignore her? What's it communicating now? It's not the words. The words ain't going to cover it. Your prayers aren't going to cover it. It's your private personal actions and disciplines that go on between your ears and in your heart. And you and I justify, well, I'm in a hurry, so therefore I need to get this task done, so I just shovel it out and talk this way to this person, and they're just going to have to understand that I'm in a hurry, and that's good enough. God should know that. As if that's license to mistreat somebody. Our words and our songs ain't cutting it. You're fasting, you're praying, it ain't cutting it. It ain't cutting it. My prayers, my fasting, and my raised hands, and the occasional sentiment towards the Lord, and I feel His nearness, it ain't cutting it. It ain't making the grade. It ain't making the grade. It's falling short. And that doesn't mean I just got to praise Him longer. I just got to pray longer. No. I need to probably pray longer and praise longer and do all those things longer and study His Word deeper. I probably need to do all those things. But they're not going to get His attention unless my nature has been transformed by His power, and I yield to His Holy Spirit and His Word in my life when no one's watching or when the audience is just simply the people I'm familiar with. A lot of our worship is about how we treat people. It's not the songs you sing. It's not the praise music you listen to. Oh, but I sense His presence when I do that. That's great. But your worship to God is a lot about how we treat people. You look through the list in Isaiah. Is that the fast I called you to do all these spiritual expressions and mistreat people? Or ignore people or neglect people? Matthew 10:8 just says, you've freely received, freely give. God gave so much to you and I. And I'm not talking about just physical blessings. He gave His life to have relationship with me. Because if He would not have given His life, I would not know salvation. Because I would never attain to the level of holiness without His mercy, grace, and blood displayed in His blood. And neither would you. Freely he gave. Now I'm supposed to freely give. Would you bow your head, please, all over this room? I wonder if we took communion now, if we would examine ourselves a little closer than when we took communion earlier. Oh, don't panic about time. We're not going to take communion again. Where is it in my life that my worship to Him needs to start? What might quickly be answered in my life because Christ lives in me rather than Randy? What am I allowing in my past and what's happened to me in my past to be reason to live like I do rather than living like I should? It affects the answers to your prayers. What is the sense in calling us to a holy fast or an extra night of worship and praise? What is the purpose of you and I setting aside extra time to do things that are spiritual expressions when we are not living in our personal life, personal relationship, private moments, whether they're with people we're familiar with or we're by ourselves, in those moments that are not really submitted to the Lord? I mean, what pleasure is it for us as a parent to have a child who sings beautifully or is a complete stud on the football field when in their private life and at home and when they're running around with a buddy or two or a friend or two and they create arguments or they're hooked on some substance or some detrimental habit? It totally robs the talent, the skill, the gift that everybody else sees when we look at the privacy of their life and how they treat their siblings, how they respond to authority. It just totally takes away the other. And that's what God is saying to us. You can do all these other things, but what about this? And the personal, private areas of your thoughts and your heart and your life and your relationships. What might you have to confess to the Lord this morning? What might you, where you sit and where I stand this morning right now in our lives, might we just have to say, Lord, I admit it. Teach me to live different. Teach me to live different. I want to submit to you. I got to submit to you. I've got to come into your way. There's been a pattern set in my life for so long that it's just normal, and because I go to church and praise and have a little experience with you, I think therefore it's accepted by you. And it is not. I have been deceived. I've deceived myself. I want to come into the light. The light of your truth, the light of your mercy and grace. And now help me walk out of this place with joy. I know more. I'm at the starting line kind of again. It's a new lap. It's a new part of the track. Father, would you truly pour out a grace in our life that empowers us, but calls us and calls me to responsibility? Help me not to slough off these things or to fill time that I should be focused on these things and filling it with other things that I call important. Let us embrace the fast you have called us to that is acceptable in your sight. Father, in Jesus' name, take liberty in us and with us. In Jesus' name. Would you please stand with me? I want to close with this thought to you. Please stand. Now listen to this. Don't turn off yet because we said amen after prayer. Listen to this. We celebrate July 4th, Independence Day. What was the point in people coming from across the water to come to this place and say, we are independent, we're free? And now through time and generation, we have entangled ourselves in other oppressions. What was the point of the independence or freedom? Just to change oppressors? To make poor decisions, to oppress ourselves and entangle ourselves and entangle our people and entangle our nation in something else? As people in leadership in this country, they stopped paying attention to what was going on in their hearts and minds and their personal life. And it led to decisions that affected other people. And now, we are not independent and free. I would gather to say we are more entangled and in corruption and things that deteriorating humanity in our nation than before they left from across the pond to come over here to be independent. Well, let that be a lesson to me, in my own life, and yours. Because the one who Christ sets free is free indeed. So are we living free? Are we living free? Free to become the person we should become. I'm glad you were here today. Hear Isaiah's alarm. Next time you hear the siren go off or see the flashing lights, you're first going to think storm in basement or pull over and get out of their way or pull over because they're in my rearview mirror. That'll be your initial thought. And after that, go, wait a minute. Isaiah's supposed message to sound like a trumpet to me. Am I embracing the fast that he has chosen for me? Or am I doing some spiritual expressions and ignoring things in my life that he's actually looking at? Huh? Right? I'm so glad he sends this trumpet prior to the trump that we shall all hear. I need to hear this trumpet first. So I'm ready for that trumpet, right?
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.